You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Welcome to the On The Money podcast. It's Monday, the 28th of July. I'm Laurie Lewira, filling in for Ricardo Gonçalves. And it was a big start to the business week with the US and EU announcing a major trade deal. How that announcement impacted local markets? Liz Maddock has been speaking with Hebe Chen, market analyst for Vantage Australia.
Well, just how much has that trade deal between the US and the EU affected the ASX today?
Well, I think that you, based on today's market do taking this as a pretty positive impact to the market. I think although firsthand is that it's a milestone to the past 3 months of the tariff negotiations and chaos. Now that deal has introduced a pretty much stability and predictability into the market's confidence. And on the other hand, given that the US has done the deals with most of the trading partners and the end results that, for example, today is a 15% versus a 30% that initially announced, they're all better than expected. And that's another source of the optimism coming from. We do see the Australian market push up about a mile 0.3% today at the beginning of the week. Still a bit of cautious that way because ahead of the quarterly CPI reading, but mostly I think the market feel a bit positive about the deal.
Also, I'm just wondering if, you know, Trump's trade negotiation strategies are affecting our markets in terms of how risk averse or risk appetites are changing in terms of, all of these deals, when they are made, being better than expected and people realising that maybe Trump's bark is worse than his bite.
Well, yes, indeed. I think that Trump has applied his quite a lot of textbook typical negotiation strategies, which we can tell from his negotiation with China, with Japan. They're always starting from a very worst case. And then that moving forward to making the case probably worse than the first expected and to trying to boost the confidence. And as you look back for the past 3 months, you see the markets to tumble quite significantly after Liberation Day in April and then jumping up significantly, which means that sort of the strategy do works in terms of the reshaping the expectation there. But at the end of the day, and you're seeing the most of the market now has at its all-time high, including US market and Australian market, let feel that the market do get used to this strategy and do sort of bringing the predictable what sort of result will end in. And that also is seeing that the China's and US deals now on the negotiation table this week seems also help the market to continue to feel optimistic about the deal could be made by the end of the day.
So what were the most interesting movers for you today?
Well, I think we are heading into a week that is set to be very, very eventful and the quite heavy data point. I think for this week, we do have quite a busy schedule. For the Australian, I do mention that the inflation data will be definitely on the front and center for the Australian watchers, not only because that will give us a comprehensive view about the price pressure in Australia, but also I think RBA do mention this is the final data point to cement that whether or not a 25 basis point will happen in August. I think that's the number one priority watching. Apart from that, I also keep my eyes on the upcoming US earnings. We do have the Apple, Meta, Microsoft, Amazon will report the earnings from Wednesday to Thursday. They are all set to reshape the market confidence and definitely will move the market this week. So I think this is a week very busy to keep all the traders and investors occupied.
Absolutely. And just in terms of today, we've had a pretty broad base rise, but has that been kind of offset by some weakness in resources?
Yes, indeed. We do think that the two sectors perform particularly well. Healthcare, led boosted by CSL, and telecom, led boosted by Telstra. I think we do see a bit of the rotation that healthcare used to be one of the worst performing in the past couple of years. Now we're seeing that seems the broad market optimism have been supporting the confidence and risk appetite. Do seeing the more interest into that. Mining sectors potentially still a bit of the uncertainty for example, the oil price has dropped for the straight weeks that will keep the investor traders a bit cautious about the economy outlook and as well as the demand for the commodity. And that's probably another reason that to wait on the miners and the energy sector.
Then just lastly, we are expecting this, tariff negotiations or the tariff truce with China to be extended past the August 1 deadline. What are you expecting in the coming weeks with that?
Well, yes, certainly. I think we are talking about the two largest economy of the world. So definitely they will impact have a pretty broad impact. I think if that the deal can be made this week for the another either 2 months or 3 months extension, I think that will be a win-win situation for both because both nations will buy the precious time. For the US, they can help to building up their supply chain resilience. For the China, they have more time to finding alternative market to hedge the impact. So I think if we do have a deal by the end of this week, there will be a positive. And then the impact for the Australia, I think they were positive for the miners, they're positive for the Aussie dollars and Australian market as well.
Liz Maddox speaking with Hebe Chen there. Well, out today is the quarterly CommSec State of the States report. Topping it is Western Australia, but South Australia's had a strong start to the year. For more, here's Chief CommSec Economist Ryan Felsman.
Well, in our latest report on State of the States, Western Australia ranks number one across eight key economic indicators for a fourth consecutive report. The West is going particularly well at the moment. It is top of the rankings for three out of the eight key indicators. And we have seen particular strength there in retail trade, housing finance, and business investment in particular. So Western Australia at the moment is benefiting from their strong population growth. That's translating into low unemployment and buoyant housing activity. So retail spending is firm there on the back of that and supported by a resilient export industry on the back of a pickup in iron ore prices, which are broadly at the highest level in 5 months. We have seen Western Australia top of the pops yet again.
Talk me through some of the key areas where Western Australia is doing far better than, say, the eastern states.
Well, what's driving Western Australia's economy at the moment is strong population growth. So its population growth at 2.4% year on year is well above the national average at 1.7%. And Western Australia is enjoying a renaissance post-COVID. And that isolation during the COVID years has attracted people to the state. At the same time, we have seen very firm public spending, particularly from a very popular government over there. And on the back of that, we have seen that attraction of workers and also population more broadly. And that's contributed to a big lift in Perth home prices. So home prices in Perth have been increasing by a double-digit level over the course of the last 12 months in particular. That's then translated into strong demand for home loans in particular. We've also seen a pickup in dwelling investment as well, and business activity has been quite strong on the back of that. Also, at the same time, we have seen household spending supported by low unemployment. The unemployment rate in WA at the moment is around 4%. And on the back of that, consumer confidence has been higher. And we also have seen a broad recovery in the export sector with a pickup in Chinese stimulus and demand for iron ore in particular, which is now at 5 month highs, which is supporting that sector, which is a pillar of the WA economy.
Talk to me a little bit more about the home lending space at the moment. We saw that New South Wales was one of the weakest.
Yes, so there's a contrast to the East Coast. So Sydney's highly indebted households are still struggling with higher mortgage repayments, with interest rates lifting up until recently. We have seen a cut from the Reserve Bank of 25 basis points in February and May. And on the back of that, we have seen lower borrowing costs, but they are still elevated at the moment. And that higher household debt is weighing on consumer spending in New South Wales and also the East Coast in general, if you look at the ACT and also Melbourne as well. But generally speaking, we have seen constraints around affordability and lower dwelling investment in New South Wales affect demand for home loans in particular. But we have seen a bit of a turnaround in home prices in Sydney in particular in the last couple of months. So certainly with interest rates expected to be cut at least twice this year from those levels that we have seen, we could see a pickup in both home prices but also retail spending in New South Wales on the back of that. But housing finance has been weaker than the other states due to this.
Let's talk about South Australia and its rise up the rankings.
Yeah, so South Australia has benefited from certainly an improvement in its labour market. We have seen fairly low unemployment in South Australia. Business investment has remained quite buoyant, supported by business-friendly government policies. And on the back of that, South Australia now ranks two in the CommSec State of the States report card. We have seen a pickup in construction work and dwelling starts. Home prices in Adelaide have been the strongest or close to the strongest across the country over the last 12 months as well. We have seen a pickup in population growth there as well. So certainly South Australia has been a strong performer over the last couple of years when it comes to its economic outcomes.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.